Now, when we study Scripture, we see many things, many fruits, many qualities that God desires His people to have. But, you know, one of the most important qualities of heaven, and one that we need in life, is wisdom. Right? And we read that, we know that. It's hard to read the Bible, and especially Proverbs, without seeing that. Right? Because it's the quality that God used as one of His names, right, to describe Himself. Right? He puts Himself as wisdom, right? His voice and His spirit crying out to us. Maybe we can read that together. It's in Proverbs chapter 8, but it's so vividly described, that the Lord crying out to us as wisdom. And let's read these six verses. So Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 6. And it says, "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And she stands at the top of the high places, by the way of the places and the paths. She cries at the gates, and at the entry of the city, and at the coming of the doors." You know, it's like she's at every single place we might be passing by. And it's like the Lord's positioning Himself everywhere we might be, saying, "Hey, this is important. You know, receive these words. Receive what I'm trying to give." He says, unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. O you simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." You know, and so there's a lot you can understand from this passage, right? It says a lot in that, but the Lord is here as wisdom, right? And He's crying out through wisdom that we would hear Him. And He's making His voice heard on the earth. You know, He desires us to hear His voice. And if we receive His words, we'll be led in a good pathway. We'll be led in the right way, a safe pathway. Right? He'll speak excellent things to us. And it's not just that He's giving us excellent things, but they're going to have an excellent result in our lives if we'll receive them. Now, He goes on later on in the chapter, in verses 20 and 21. And He says, "I'll lead in the way of righteousness, and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I'll fill their treasuries," their treasure houses, you could say. You know, so you get this picture, the Lord coming down as wisdom, and He's crying out to us. And if we'll hear His voice, and we'll respond and walk in the way that He's giving us to walk, right, in the highway of righteousness and holiness, that we'll inherit something eternal, a substance, heavenly treasure. Sounds like a good plan. A good way to go, you know, as we respond. Of course, we know that we run into some issues, right, when we're trying to follow God's way, right, because the voice of wisdom is not the only voice out there, right? There are other voices speaking, trying to get us to go in their way, but they're not from heaven. Now, I wanted to look at the book of James, and this is kind of be our focus for the rest of the message, is the book of James, because he gives us a clear picture of wisdom, and not just the voice of wisdom, right? We understand that, but the other voices that are trying to, you know, get us to follow that way. And so let's look at this passage. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and clothed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom." And so James is asking that question: Who has heard the wisdom of God? You know, who has heard His voice and responded to it, and you know, is walking in that way? Who has allowed Him to direct their lives? And the good old King James uses that word "conversation," but you know, that's not a very accurate, because we think it's just confined to our lips and what we say, but we realize it's deeper than that. It's how we live. You know, other translations say it's out of our good conduct. It's out of the way we conduct our lives and conduct ourselves. You know, how people see us. And so what that really means is, as we receive wisdom from God, it has the ability to transform our lives and our conduct. And so that when people see us, they don't just examine our doctrine and say, "Oh, okay, this guy's wise. He's got good doctrine." Right? They don't do that. Of course, the unsaved or even the young believers, how can they know that? But they can look at our conduct and say, all right, this guy conducts himself, or this person conducts herself very well. That's wise. And so, you know, we're endued with wisdom, and that wisdom is seen in the fruit of wisdom in our lives. And so wisdom is a powerful agent for change, to change us, to transform us as we walk in it. But James goes on, and this is something we want to take note of, right? Because in chapter 3, we see the other voice trying to speak to us, and it's another agent of change, right? And this, you know, as the Lord tries to change us for good, he's, you know, this other voice is trying to change us for evil. But we know that because we see its origin. And James 3, verses 14 through 16. All right, so he's talked about the meekness of wisdom, having a good conduct. Then he says, but. Now we got to pay attention. When he starts a new verse or a new sentence or paragraph with but, it's usually something we have to pay attention to because it's a qualifier. Or it's something that can, you know, distract us or nullify what God's trying to do. And so he says in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, rejoice not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so we see this picture from James. There's a wisdom that comes from heaven. It comes from God. It's effectual. It'll transform us. It'll produce good fruit in our lives. But there's also a wisdom that does not come from above. And so we know if it's not coming from above, then it's somewhere else. It's coming from below, right? So that wisdom from below heaven, right? Anything below heaven, you know, that's the wisdom of this earth or even deeper, right? We can keep going there. But so there's a wisdom that we have to be careful of. And there's actually a progression there. He gives three descriptions of this wisdom, right? It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish, or it's from hell, right? And so, you know, earthly, we can be kind of earthly minded at times, and that's hard not to be because we have earthly vision, right? We see with our earthly eyes, and so it's hard not to be earthly minded. But the Lord is saying, you know, we have to watch out for that, because when we make decisions based on the wisdom even of just around us, it's not evil wisdom, it's not from hell, it's just we're doing it based on what we see. But James says it's still the wisdom from below, because it's below heaven, right? Anything below heaven, we got to watch out for. Then he says sensual, and really that it's a wisdom that wants us to focus on fulfilling what we want, our desires. And sometimes we have that wisdom because we look for it, right? You can find wisdom for everything you want to do in life that someone will say, or something that says, that's a smart thing to do. Yeah, you need to look out for that you want in your life, right? There's a wisdom for that, of fulfilling our own desires instead of the desires of God. But then there's this devilish wisdom. But really, it's the wisdom that comes straight from the pit, you know? And that's the purpose of that voice, is to try to get us to come down there if we follow that voice. And so, you know, what I wanted us to keep in mind from this passage, and what I was kind of quickened, is the danger of the wisdom of man. Right? The danger of the wisdom of man. It's so powerful. It has such a powerful effect when we listen to the counsel, to the wisdom, the instruction that comes from this earth, that comes from any source below heaven. As soon as we get up to heaven, that instruction leads us in the way of life. But anything below that, we have to be so careful. You know, if we base our decisions or the direction of our life on the voice of this world, it only produces one thing, and that's bad fruit. It's fruit that we do not want in our lives. And now there's different translations. It's kind of interesting how you can read different translations and how they translate these things. But it kind of generally, it speaks about the fruit of this wisdom from below is confusion, disorder, bitterness, envy, jealousy, strife, selfish ambition. That's not good fruit. That kind of fruit in us will make us miserable. And so they all come because of the source of that wisdom. And that's really it. Right? The outcome of our life depends on the source of the wisdom we allow into our lives. I heard a quote recently. Someone was kind of giving a little testimonial devotional, and something stuck with me that they said. They said that when we obey and follow God's direction, it's like we're bringing a little bit of heaven down to earth. And isn't that true? You know, when we follow God, it's like a little bit of heaven is coming into our lives because we're walking in His pathway. He's leading us, right? We go from grace, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And every time we obey, it's like a little bit more of heaven enters in. Then he said this, but when we disobey, right, when we don't follow God and we follow another way, it's like a little bit of hell coming onto up to earth. And that's so true, because it's really speaking of the fruit of our decisions, or the fruit that comes depending on the wisdom that we follow and the wisdom that we receive. When we follow God's pathway, there's peace, there's joy. When we follow His wisdom, there's good fruit. But when the wisdom of this world works its way into our minds and hearts, it's the other type of fruit that's unpleasant. But, you know, Sarah and I were talking about recently, just, you know, at times we had meetings with Pastor Bailey, you know, and if you'd ever been in a counseling session or a meeting with him, one of his practices was this, right? So he would, you know, give the wisdom of the Lord and get direction or make a decision. And he would kind of go around and say, do you have peace? Do you have peace? And virtually, he didn't let anyone in the room get away without acknowledging, do you have peace? Because he wanted the peace of God, because the peace is the fruit of wisdom, right? And if we're walking in the way of God, of wisdom, right, the fruit will be peace. And I so appreciated that, you know, because it's one of the indications, you know, am I making the right decision? If I am, the fruit of that is peace. Now, sometimes you don't feel it right away because you got to, you know, sometimes it's a tough decision that you're making and you don't feel an overwhelming sense of peace. But yet, even when making that decision, you can sense in your heart, you know, I feel like this is right. Because if you try to do something else, then something comes in it that's a little bit of turmoil and anxiety, and you can ignore that, but we know the fruit that it brings. But the fruit of wisdom is so wonderful because it brings peace. And so we want to pay close attention to what we base our decisions on, because it has a great effect upon the fruit we will develop in our lives. And of course, these things all start small, right? The just as fruit starts small, right? It can start off as a little blossom, and right, start off as something small on a tree, but give it time and it grows. So it starts small, right? We actually looked at this, and I was just kind of reminded of our Bible study and looking at how, you know, in the life of Solomon, the things started off small. We looked at Song of Solomon 2 and verse 15, right? It says, take the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And so, you know, Song of Solomon, written by Solomon, you know, which is kind of ironic. But, you know, you have this tender, beautiful fruit, these grapes. But what happens? You let these little foxes in, they destroy it. I think foxes are cute. I don't know if you've ever watched documentaries or seen little foxes. I think they're pretty cute. I mean, I don't know if I'd ever want to cuddle with one. I don't know what they do, but they're pretty cute. You think, well, what harm can a little fox do, right? Maybe we're not talking big foxes, right? Little foxes, they're cute. But, you know, they grow, and they get really hungry and really destructive. They love feeding upon the fruit of the Spirit that's growing in our lives, and they like to eat it all up so it's gone. You know, and so a lot of times You know, we look at these small things and say, oh, I don't think it's going to cause too much of a trouble. If I make this decision, I think it's all right. But, you know, we want to be careful because they start off so small, but they can be so destructive and the fruit can be so terrible at the end of the matter. You know, and a lot of times we look at these foxes as representing iniquity or sin, but and which they do. But, you know, coming back to this thought of wisdom, sometimes these little foxes are just an idea, a concept, a desire. Well, I think I'd like to do this. I think this is a good idea. I'm gonna try and do this. This sounds good to me. I want to do it. But you know, unless we check that with the wisdom of God, that can open the door for and to become a little fox, to destroy the fruit in our lives. Now, and of course, we remember the definition of sin is it's anything that causes us to fall short of the glory of God. Sin does not always mean some gross iniquity, right, which definitely would destroy our fruit, but yet sometimes it can just be something small, right? Romans 14:23, whatever of is not of faith is sin. And that brings us back to that thought, right? We know faith comes by hearing the word of God, but where does that come? It comes from above. It comes from heaven. And so whenever we're doing something that's not based on what comes from above, that's where we get in trouble. And that's why Paul said, whatever is not based on faith is sin, because it causes us to fall short. When we do things based on something from below, it causes us to fall short. But true wisdom is so wonderful, you know, because it produces good fruit. And let's look at that back in James. James 3, verses 17 and 18. And we know these are two loaded verses that you could spend a whole week studying. Week of Sundays, just studying these. And maybe we need to at some point. But the fruit of wisdom. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see all these good fruits, you know, and these are things we need in our lives to fully walk in wisdom. Now, you might ask, does wisdom produce these fruits, or do we get wisdom when we do these the good things? And that's, in a sense, it's almost like the chicken and the egg. You know, which one comes first? Because we know someone's wise when they're doing these things, but yet it's also the proof of wisdom. And so, in a sense, we need to seek these things, and wisdom will develop. And the more we seek wisdom, the more these things will develop in our lives. You know, so, you know, as we do what's right in God's sight, He develops these qualities in us. And in fact, when we're trying to just do what's good, right in God's sight, we're receiving our direction from heaven, it's hard for these not to grow. Because in order to walk in God's way, we have to have these, and we have to cry out for God for these, you know, for wisdom, for us to walk in the way of wisdom. Now, we've kind of given these the title of the seven pillars of wisdom, and I'm just going to mention them. We're not going to, you know, otherwise, we'd be here for a while if I was going to talk about every one. But you know, these things have to be developed in our life for us to truly be wise men and women of God. And so, you know, one of those fruits is pure. And this is a real distinction that we can make between the two wisdoms, right? Because the wisdom from above is from heaven, and heaven is pure. Heaven is clean. And we will always walk in purity. You know, it's always the pure and holy choice when we walk in wisdom, but the wisdom of this world is unclean. It's unpure. And that's the thing. When we walk in the wisdom from below, there's like a taint that comes into our lives because of that. Right? Because it opens the door for the flesh and the works of the flesh and so forth. But when we choose purity, it causes us to walk in wisdom. And then peaceable, you know, we mentioned this, right? It's the hallmark of heavenly wisdom is peace. But also, the hallmark of earthly wisdom is strife. When we allow earthly wisdom to come in, it just causes strife and anxiety. I'm so glad that peace is the fruit of wisdom, because we so need it. You know, he's the umpire of peace, and he'll direct us through peace in our hearts. And we can know we're walking in the wise way when we have peace in our life. Gentleness. Now, those who know how to be wise are gentle, because they realize, you know, you have to be. If you're harsh and, you know, treat people that way, you're not wise, because it's the fruit of wisdom is gentleness. And so, you know, in order to walk in wisdom, you know, the world says that in order to get to the top, you got to walk over a lot of people, right? That's the way of the world, right? It doesn't matter how you treat people, because you're just trying to get to the top, and you won if you get to the top. But, you know, Jesus said that in order to be great, we have to become low. You don't walk over anyone when you become low. In fact, you get walked over a few times. But that's the way of wisdom, isn't it? We treat people with gentleness and compassion. And even if they're walking over us. Because that's the way to greatness, is by going down. Here's a tough one. Easy to be entreated. Wisdom knows when to yield. When to say, okay, not my will, your will. Even when they're not a good person. Or even when we it's not what we want to do. But wisdom is easy to be entreated. You know, and most often, I would say, it's in the high 90s for the percentage, but the right thing to do in this situation is to yield. Now, we know there's times we can't yield on certain matters of truth and doctrine and righteousness and so forth. But most of the time, it doesn't matter. And to get peace in a situation, the wise thing to do is just to yield. Right? We can avoid a lot of contention by being willing to yield. I was trying to think of a natural example, but you know, all I could think of was sometimes I'll come out of my closet and I'll put on a tie, and Sarah says, "Are you going to wear that?" And I say, "What's wrong?" It's like, "Well, that red kind of clashes with that, you know, something." And of course, me, I'm like, "I just, what's the first one to come? Oh, okay." You know, her sense of style is more refined. But, you know, we know as husbands the wise thing to do with it in that situation. "Yes, dear, you show me. Which one would you like me to put on?" But, you know, that's a small example. But it can apply so often in life. But it's hard, isn't it? We're in situations where you say, "But I want to do this way. This is what I want." And someone says, "Well, I would like to do it this way." And you're at an impasse. What's the way of wisdom? It's easy to be entreated. Or really, that's that easy to be persuaded. Easy to have your mind changed. Isn't that a hard thing to do, though? To change your mind, to change your will, because someone else wants you to do, and you think, and sometimes the way we want to go is better. It's the wiser thing to do, saying, "Well, no, I know that the way I want to do it is the better way to do it." But wisdom says, well, even if it's not the better way, what's the way of peace? What's the way of being gentle and being, you know, towards people? Well, sometimes we have to humble ourselves and yield. But it's the way of wisdom. Full of mercy. And, you know, I like this idea. It's not just mercy. It's full of mercy. It's completely full. There's no room for anything else. And that's a good way to look at it. You know, that there's no room in our reactions for anything other than mercy. Now, so, of course, there's righteousness there too. That's a part of wisdom. But there's no room for wrong reactions of judgment and so forth. It's only mercy. You know, and so it's the idea that we can overlook the faults of others that we see, because God wants to help them and get them to a good place. And plus, God overlooked a lot of faults in us to get us where we are. And so we want to be full of mercy. Then without partiality, it means basically not a respecter of other people, as Peter said. You know, wisdom shows kindness unto all. It doesn't show more kindness because we think, well, someone deserves more kindness than this other person. But wisdom, you know, is to show the love of God to all people. And then without hypocrisy. And literally this means to be an actor, right? To put on the face of an actor. You know, back in the day, they used to have these, you know, masquerade balls. And they would it would actually be a mask on a stick, and they'd hold it in front of their face as they did their thing, right? But it was to be a disguise, to put on a different face, and it's where we get the term to be two-faced, right? Something on the outward, but that's really hiding on the inward. You know, one of the deepest ways that wisdom can affect us is to make us sincere, that we are the same person no matter what the situation. It doesn't mean we're a perfect person. It doesn't mean we still have our reactions and things we're dealing with, but we are the same. We don't put on something that says, you know, I'm holy when there's something else going on. But that's the way of wisdom, that our love remains the same in every situation. And so we can see that the fruit of wisdom is so wonderful. It's what God wants to have in our lives, and we so need it in our lives. But, you know, it all starts with the importance of identifying the source. And that was so quickened to me, that we need to have the ability to identify the source of wisdom and the direction that we take in our lives. That when we're making decisions, we say, you know what, I'm basing this on heaven. I'm not basing this on something from the earth, something from my will. I'm not, you know, basing it definitely on something from the bad place, right? When we avoid that, that's when we can walk in the way of wisdom that's from above. And so, you know, let's cry out, Lord, cause me to hear your voice. Cause me to identify, you know, the wisdom that's from this world so I can avoid it, and that I would walk in the wisdom that's from above. You know, and we know that there's a precious promise if we do that, if we cry out for wisdom. James 1 and verse 5, I'm going to read this from the ESV. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given unto him. I love that verse. I love that God says we can ask, and he gives generously, and he will never reproach us for asking for too much. That means we should be asking all the time, every day. Lord, give me wisdom. Well, Lord, you haven't given me enough yet. I need a little more wisdom. We can never say that too much, because we need wisdom. We need to walk in his way. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you that you are the voice of wisdom, that you've placed yourself at every corner of our life, in every pathway, in every high place and low place, that you're the voice crying out to follow you and to walk in your way, and that you want to put good fruit in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would do that, Lord, that you would just cause the fruit of wisdom to grow within us, Lord. We so need it. We so desire it. Lord, we ask that you would just cause us to identify those areas in our life, Lord, that when the enemy comes trying to persuade us to follow the wisdom from below, that you would just, Lord, give us the ability to identify that, to put it away. And that, Lord, we would cry out to you for wisdom, and that you would grant it to us, O God. Lord, we ask afresh for wisdom from heaven, that you would lead us on that pathway that shines brighter and brighter, Lord, unto the perfect day. Lead us in that way, we ask, and we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.